This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Westholm. We all know, from home cooks to restaurant chefs to eating enthusiasts, that the quality of your ingredients makes all the difference, especially when it comes to meat.
Westholm, which is based in Queensland and the Northern Territory, Australia, is working with the land to create nature-led Australian Wagyu.
They steward 16 million acres of rangeland, guided by the natural ecosystem where their cattle thrive. The result is high-quality Wagyu beef that reflects the terroir of Northern Australia and a flavor suited to complement any cuisine.
Westholm believes that when nature leads, flavor follows. Learn more at westholm.com/savor. That's westholme.com/savor.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about papaya.
Yes. Was there any reason this was on your mind, Lauren?
Nope. Not at all. Maybe it might have been in our idea sheet. Maybe I was just recklessly Googling fruit. I don't know.
Never recklessly Google fruit, Lauren. There's one thing I've learned on this job.
but I love a papaya. I think I prefer it unripe to ripe, but there is really something about like good, like just like chilled papaya cubes with like a lot of lime juice. Oh, so nice. So refreshing. Mm.
Okay. I don't have a lot of experience with papaya, to be honest. I had papaya juice a lot in Peru. There was a smell that always threw me.
Mm-hmm. That's a common vibe. Yeah.
It was never like I couldn't drink it or anything like that, but it was just like didn't match quite with what I thought the taste would be.
Yeah.
In a way that reminds me of a much tamer durian.
Absolutely. I think that is very much a situation with ripe papaya. It doesn't really happen with the unripe kind. But I've definitely, like, people have a strong enough association between papaya and that kind of off smell that I've, you know, like, if I order papaya salad, green papaya salad, which I do pretty much every time I can, people are like, oh, I don't even want to try it because I don't want to get my face anywhere near papaya. But the green stuff does not have that smell, so y'all are safe if that was a concern.
Phew. No, I mean, I would definitely eat it. I did think that was just my first experience with something like that. I almost messaged you about this, so it wasn't another marigold situation. But okay, there seems to be a lot of confusion between pawpaws and papaya. Pawpaw. I determined unilaterally without asking you, but I think this is what you meant. That's a separate episode.
That's a different fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people put it in the same kind of like story history line. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I won't.
It's a different fruit. Yep. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Putting the foot down. But a lot of people, at least a handful of people have suggested pawpaw. So we will do it.
Oh, sure.
It's on the list.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm. You can see the episode we did on green papaya salad, which, yes, I have now had based heavily on your suggestion, Lauren.
Oh, yeah.
I also adore it. It is so good.
Oh, yeah, isn't it? Oh, man.
It's so good.
Did you have like a good spicy one? Like, was it, yeah?
The so crunch good. Of it and the, oof, the tang.
Spice.
I also get it every time I see it.
Oh, yay.
Yes. Yes. But I guess that brings us to our question.
Sure.
Papaya. What is it?
Well, papaya is a type of fruit that's eaten both unripe when the flesh is green and tart and crunchy, and ripe when it's kind of blush orange and soft and very sweet and a little funky. They can get big, like football-sized, so in grocery stores they're often sold halved or skinned and sliced like melons. Both their smooth skin and small black seeds are technically edible, but they're also both a little bitter and, like, tough, so, eh. The fruit can be used unripe in bright salads and savory stews like curries, or ripe by itself as a snack or dessert, often with lime juice to help mitigate that funky smell, or raw in smoothies or salads, or cooked into baked goods or pastes or candies or jams. More than any other fruit that I know of, it's really two totally different things when it's ripe versus unripe. It retains a few tropical, floral, tangy flavors in both states, but like the texture and the smell, right, are so different. It's like if celery turned into cantaloupe when it ripened. it's like a squash that grows on trees. It's like a choose your own adventure. That definitely takes place in the tropics and just leaves you feeling refreshed.
That is true. It's got a very, like, refreshing, it's very, a lot of water involved, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of juice involved.
Yeah, very juicy when it, yeah, yeah. Okay, but yeah, so botanical name, Carica papaya. The papaya plant is a tropical evergreen tree. It can grow up to about 6 to 20 feet tall. That's around 2 to 6 meters, and has these broad, kind of palm-like lobed leaves that come straight off of its trunk, which is not woody, prompting some botanists to call it a giant herb. Very large herb. Yeah, I know, right? Love this. Each leaf will, like, leave a scar on the stem when it falls off. The new leaves sprout at the top of the plant. It's sometimes planted as an ornamental. It's real pretty, you know, like a really herby palm tree. And it grows these big, pretty, kind of star trumpet-shaped yellow-white flowers, which, if pollinated, will grow into large, oblong, or roundish fruits with a smooth, thin skin that's green when they're unripe and goes to yellow to orange when they ripen. The fruit inside is green and, like, juicy, crunchy when it's unripe, and then goes pink to orange to reddish and very soft and juicy when it's ripe. There's an oblong cavity down the center of the fruit, or I guess round, depending on the shape of the fruit. But yeah, it contains many small gray to black seeds, each encased in a little kind of juice sac. They are edible, but right sort of bitter. And like I said, these fruit can get big, like up to 20 pounds and 18 inches long. That's about 9 kilos and 35 centimeters long, yeah. Ones that you find in stores are more likely to be like about a pound and around 8 inches long. That's like half a kilo and 20 centimeters. But yeah, yeah. And the fruit will continue ripening after harvest. And it does so pretty rapidly, which means that it can be difficult to transport because it has a pretty short shelf life post-harvest. They can like over-ripen and bruise pretty easily. That offensive scent in a ripe papaya is due to a compound called papain, which has been described in the scientific literature as sweaty/rancid. It's actually this enzyme that's widely used in the food and beverage industry to tenderize meat, remove allergens from water, like clarify and stabilize beer, among lots of other uses in other industries as well, including like biomedical applications. A perhaps more pleasant scent molecule in papaya is linalool, which is, it's pretty characteristic of papaya. It has a sort of floral, spicy scent to it. Yeah. So, yeah, ripe papaya is great raw. Try it with lots of fresh lime juice. Put it in a fruit salad or a smoothie or a salsa. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that the lime juice thing works because lime juice is acidic enough to inactivate papain. And when you inactivate a protein or an enzyme, you kind of unravel it And I'm assuming that that does something to change the scent. I don't know. I couldn't really find an answer. But that's what I'm guessing. Unripe, it's used more like a vegetable. It's a little bit tough, but can be cut into skinny slices and pounded tender for use in salads or cooked into curries. Mm-hmm. I have never had cooked green papaya, and now I really want to try that because that sounds like an excellent addition to a curry.
It does. It does. Right? Ah. Hmm. Oh, the list goes on. It grows longer still.
Too much to eat.
What about the nutrition?
In general, papaya contains a good punch of fiber and lots of micronutrients. Ripe papaya can have a bunch of sugar, but it also has developed even more micronutrients. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. In general, it'll help fill you up, but to keep you going, pair it with a fat and a protein, which is tasty. They do contain enzymes that can set off a latex allergy. So if that's you, be aware, be safe. Yeah. Also, as I kind of touched on above, a papayan is being investigated for all of these potential medical properties, including like helping with various forms of inflammation, which could potentially touch everything from like skin care and wound healing to heart disease. But those are with like extracts with medically monitored applications, you know, saver motto, bodies are complicated. More research is necessary before, eating a medicinal amount of anything. Check with the doctor. And that's not us.
It is not. Is that the first saver motto of 2024?
It might in fact be.
Whoa.
I don't remember last week, so it's hard for me to say.
I think it is.
Cool.
I'll go out on a limb and say it is. And who's going to prove us wrong?
It's not like we have a record of these things.
No. Mm. No. Well, speaking of records, we have a couple numbers for you.
We do. Papayas can contain between 100 and 400 flavor compounds, though only about 25 of those occur in amounts detectable to the human palate. The rest are just kind of hanging out in there. Yeah.
Hmm.
As of 2020, India was producing the most papayas, about 14 million metric tons per year, which was around 43% of the world's crop. However, Mexico, which is only the fifth largest grower, was exporting the most, some 47% of its crop, most of which goes to the United States. The U.S. is the largest importer of papaya in the world, and Brazil is the main supplier to Europe.
Yes. And I, again, always, I would love to hear from listeners because I, as I said, don't have a lot of experience with papaya. And when I read the U.S. is the largest importer, I was kind of like, huh, I wonder what that's going into.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like my main experience with it is either in these salads, in pounded salads, or in, or just like buying a tub of it cubed from a grocery store with a bunch of lime wedges in the package already and like taking it on a picnic and having a really nice time.
That does sound like a nice time.
Oh, it's a very nice time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let us know, listeners. But we do have some history for you.
We do, and we're going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Westholm. I'm a person who doesn't really cook with a lot of meat, to be honest, because when I do, I want it to be special.
I'm the same, and I do love sharing that food with people. And I have to say, we received some product, some steak, and I am very eager to share it with my friends.
Yeah, West Home sent us a few of their products, and they included these gorgeous, gigantic tomahawk steaks that I, like, opened the box and immediately sent a picture to my best grilling friend, like, hang out soon.
Yes, I did too.
West Home offers these beautifully marbled steaks because they have 16 million acres of rangeland across the northeast corner of Australia, from Brisbane to Darwin. They use a nature-led approach with the belief that if they balance the needs of their cattle with the needs of their environment, both can thrive.
Their cattle graze on native grasses like Mitchell grass, which is found only in Australia, and roam wild, foraging at will for the first 2 to 3 years of their lives.
The result is Wagyu beef that reflects the terroir of Northern Australia and a quality that would complement whatever you're into cooking right now.
West Home believes that when nature leads, flavor follows. Learn more at westhome.com/savor. That's westhome.com/savor.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, so historians believe that papaya originated in Central America and Mexico, where they were first domesticated, though as of recently, archaeological evidence was pretty much non-existent and or not definitive. And I read a whole paper about why that is. And it was interesting.
Okay.
But the ultimate answer is they don't have the evidence.
Was it like one of those, like, the fruit doesn't really preserve well, or like...
It was that, and I think there was something to do with specifically how it decays. You can't differentiate it between other things that are similar.
I see. Oh, that's fun. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, it was fun. So if you want to, if you're a nerd like us and you want to learn more about it, it exists. But I basically was like, sometimes you got to pull back and ultimately the evidence, they don't have it quite yet.
I did 2 pulling backs in my history research for this one. So, yes, I know the feeling.
Yes.
Very well.
Believe it or not, listeners, we do try to cultivate a whole experience here. listening to, like, our hour-long episodes, you might not think so, but believe us. And it can be tricky with one like this because, honestly, there wasn't too much about it. Okay, it does have a long history of being used in a variety of culinary preparations and medicinally. It also has a long history of being used to make wine or other alcoholic beverages.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think I forgot. Yeah, I forgot to put a note in about that above, but yes,
Yes. The Maya are believed to be one of the first cultures to cultivate and trade papaya. And some sources suggest the papayan enzyme in papaya was used by Mesoamerican peoples to tenderize meats as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Probably is like a juice kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. After encountering the papaya during the 1500s, the Spanish and Portuguese introduced the papaya to their colonies, and records indicate that it was present in the Dominican Republic and Panama during this time, and that the Spanish brought the seeds to the Philippines in the 1500s. The papaya was being cultivated in India by at least the early 1600s. As it spread, it took really well in tropical areas, and cultures cultivating them in those areas found ways to incorporate them into local dishes and taste, and green papaya salad is a very good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Meanwhile, a papayan was named in 1879 by researchers who partially purified it out of papaya sap, so not the actual fruit, but the kind of like latexy sap in the skin. It was isolated in the 1960s and has become one of the, like, most industrially used plant compounds in the world.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, a variety of papaya called the Solo was introduced to Hawaii in 1910, and it was a very big commercial success. But that success took a hit due to the papaya ring spot virus that got going in that area in the 1950s. Attempts were made to combat it, including relocating where the papaya was grown. But by 1997, the Hawaiian papaya industry was all but extinct. Mm-hmm. farms were going out of business and the crop yield had dropped by 40%. At the time, the U.S. government had just wrapped up a regulatory review on a genetically engineered variety of papaya called the Sunup that was resistant to the ring spot virus. They gave their permission to 200 farmers to plant this variety. A year later, it was commercialized and the Hawaiian papaya industry bounced back.
Yeah, it's a really amazing success story. The Sunup had been in development since 1978 when this Hawaiian plant virologist who was working at Cornell at the time went home for a visit and realized this was an issue and kind of really devoted himself to it. Over the next decade, they figured out how to take proteins from the ring spot virus's coat, like the coat of the protein or the coat of the virus, and add them to the DNA of this variety of papaya called the Sunset that was having this problem with the virus. And they thus created the virus-resistant Sunup. So cute. Love it. they then crossed it with this high-yielding variety called the Rainbow and wound up with a high-yield virus-resistant plant. Like, it doesn't require herbicides. It's been found safe to grow and consume. There's a little bit, there's still, or there has been and still is, we are still kind of working through reticence to genetically modified plants because people get freaked out because it's genetic modification. They're like, is it safe? Mm-hmm. The answer is, in this case, yes. So, you know, hopefully this can be a solution to many other ring spot virus problems around the world.
Yes, yes. And this was also, I feel like in a lot of these episodes, we run across people who are very passionate about certain varieties.
Oh, yeah.
So if another rabbit hole, if you're looking for one, mm-hmm. papaya varieties.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In 1993, Singapore issued special edition stamps featuring the papaya.
Oh.
Which I love. And then this. Okay. Very briefly, because it kept popping up, and I had totally forgotten about this whole thing, and I've actually been to this place. Okay.
Okay.
Let me step back. I'm going to keep you in suspense.
Ooh, all right.
In 1923, a Greek immigrant started work at a deli shop, and eventually he bought it, and after a trip to some tropical locations in 1932, renamed it Hawaiian Tropical Drinks. Though most of us know it now as Papaya King, allegedly New York's first juice bar.
Ah.
Yes, it's got a very iconic sign. Over the years, a couple more opened, and by 1939, hot dogs were added to the menu, and this hot dog went on to become a bit of a New York icon. It was often enjoyed with papaya juice. Yes, and this classic sign above it reads papaya in all capital, like, neon letters. It's very eye-catching. That's about the original location. And it went up in the 1950s. Legend has it, though, that it wasn't until after some inspiration from Babe Ruth that the name Papaya King came into use. I couldn't, like, prove that story at all, so grain of salt.
But, okay, all right.
Yeah. And I'm going to super condense this, but basically, after the success of Hawaiian tropical drinks, Papaya King, and in the way of New York restaurants, numerous competitors started popping up and selling hot dogs and tropical drinks, many of them with papaya in their restaurant name.
Ah.
Yes. Here is a list from Eater. Yes. Papaya Heaven, Papaya Paradise, Papaya Place, Papaya Circle, Papaya World, Frank's Papaya, Papaya Jack, and Original Papaya.
Original Papaya is
that
bold.
That made me laugh so hard that it's such a New York City restaurant thing. I love that. Because it definitely was not the Original Papaya. Anyway, many of them did end up closing, except for Gray's Papaya. And the story goes that in the early 70s, Papaya King was looking at franchising, and the owner of one of the non-company stores closed the store, reopened it as Gray's Papaya, and they have been rivals ever since.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, Papaya King definitely has its fans. It definitely has a lot of people who know about it. Julia Child once called Papaya King the best hot dog in New York.
Okay.
It does sound good. I almost included the whole description, but you can look it up. And here's your Seinfeld quote of the episode. I don't want a movie hot dog. I want a Papaya King hot dog. And then Kramer runs out of the theater. I don't think I knew what it was when I saw the episode, but now I know. Now I know. But yes, that was just, I had totally, it unlocked a part of my brain, my memories. I'd forgotten I'd been there. I'd forgotten about that whole thing.
Yeah. I have not experienced a Papaya King. I feel like I'm missing out.
You are. I'm sure a lot of listeners are going to write in and have strong opinions about that. I remember it being good.
No, if you have strong opinions, I mean, we always want to hear strong opinions no matter what they're about, but especially if you have a Gray's Papaya versus Papaya King opinion.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, I want to hear that. I want to hear your order.
Yes.
I need to know. Yeah.
Yes. And does the papaya juice, does it come at the Gray's Papaya place? Is it still available at Papaya King?
No.
We savor needs answers, and only you can help.
Yeah.
We can't look this up.
I'm looking at it right now.
No, Lauren.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
no,
my bad.
We can't
look this up.
No.
They do offer fresh juices, but I don't think papaya is one of them.
Oh, well, that's not looking good. Just let us know.
Oh. Confusion. Yeah. All right.
Let us know. and again, like I said, this is one of those unfortunate instances where I couldn't find too much. So if you have any experiences, dishes, recipes, please write in.
Lore. Yeah. Papaya lore.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Right. Because, you know, other than me going on at length about science that I don't really understand about this extract papayan, or about, like, the gold dust particles that they used to shoot the virus pieces into the DNA of the papaya.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I was like, wow, I don't understand that sentence at all, but that sounds really, really rad.
It does.
I think that is what we have to say about the papaya for now.
It is indeed. But we do have some listener mail for you.
Oh, we do. And we're going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Westholm. I'm a person who doesn't really cook with a lot of meat, to be honest, because when I do, I want it to be special.
I'm the same, and I do love sharing that food with people. And I have to say, we received some product, some steak, and I am very eager to share it with my friends.
Yeah, Westholm sent us a few of their products, and they included these gorgeous, gigantic tomahawk steaks that I, like, opened the box and immediately sent a picture to my best grilling friend, like, hang out soon.
Yes, I did too.
Westholm offers these beautifully marbled steaks because they have 16 million acres of rangeland across the northeast corner of Australia, from Brisbane to Darwin. They use a nature-led approach with the belief that if they balance the needs of their cattle with the needs of their environment, both can thrive.
Their cattle graze on native grasses like Mitchell grass, which is found only in Australia, and roam wild, foraging at will for the first 2 to 3 years of their lives.
The result is Wagyu beef that reflects the terroir of Northern Australia and a quality that would complement whatever you're into cooking right now.
Westholm believes that when nature leads, flavor follows. Learn more at westholm.com/savor. That's westholme.com/savor.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with a listener mail. Yes. So I'm very cold, listeners. Warm. See, it looks like I'm dressed for the snow and ice. So papaya in a tropical climate sounds very lovely.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. Annie's outfit looks like what they should have been wearing in Game of Thrones when they were running around above north of the wall. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. If you want a side podcast on Lauren critiques about lack of hat wear in Game of Thrones, I think we could make it happen.
I think we could. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
During cold times when it should have been worn.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Jon Snow's hair is pretty, but come on, man. He's going to get hypothermia.
There are fine looking hats, you know. You can accentuate all kinds of things.
It doesn't have... Right. Hoods are great, you know, man. It doesn't have to be those goofy fray hats. Come on. Anyway.
Look out. I can't wait to pitch some titles for that show for you. In the meantime, Christine wrote, "It's Boxing Day in Australia, and friends, I have spotted hot cross buns in the wild.
Oh.
No news on weird varieties like cheese and jalapeno, but I will keep you posted." So, yes, in the previous year, Christine wrote in that this was a thing that happened around Boxing Day in Australia and was sending in these flavors. And it was just sort of not what I'm used to or when I'm used to hot cross buns appearing. Mm-hmm. But yes, also not what I'm used to flavor-wise.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right. So, I'm used to, right, Easter.
Yes.
And they're pretty much only the sweet variety here with icing and like currants or raisins in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you for answering the call on this, Christine, because we did ask for a follow-up and hopefully we'll get another one. We'll learn more about these hot cross buns in the wild.
I mean, yeah, I'm not mad about a cheese or jalapeno hot cross bun.
Well, you would be because of the jalapeno, but that not specifically
That's
fine. Large.
Just okay. I can eat a little bit. It'll be for, yeah.
It'll work out. Okay.
Anyway. Yes. Oh, goodness. Arik wrote, "The Sriracha revisit with an update. Nice revisit, but obviously some not so nice updates. I've recently moved over to the Lee Kum Kee brand as it's a little easier to find recently. Also, in doing a blind taste test, I really couldn't taste any super noticeable difference. Always nice when you do a classic and can provide new stuff. Rose water is something I had not thought of in a while. Seems like it was popular and showing up in a lot of stuff around 10 or 15 years ago and now has faded into the background. Probably still used, just not mentioned as much. There used to be an Indian restaurant that had this amazing mango lassi that had rose water in it. The listener mail about the eating schedule in one part of Finland was interesting. Enjoy hearing about things like that. Lauren also gave us some advice later that we need to keep snacks available around her to keep our eyeballs. It did give me a thought. It could be a multi-part episode. Breakfasts around the world. I find the variety of things interesting. I hope to travel to Japan at some point and really want to do the breakfast they have. I've done a full English in London, had some simple light meals in Switzerland and Italy when younger. Everything was wonderful. This great world of food and the variety of things out there is just amazing. I just think that the joy of not only experiencing different types of food, but sharing food and stories with people over food is something that we need to share more."
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes,
that's
always.
We're here, partly.
We clearly agree. Yeah.
I do think breakfast, that would be a great mini-series because breakfast can vary wildly.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And just fascinating.
And it's so much, I mean, it seems like a really nostalgic meal for a lot of people and something that you do kind of stick with tradition about more so than other meals.
Yeah. And I it's hard to, like, make a, I don't know, generalization about it. Because I was going to say, I feel like breakfast varies the most of any of the other meals I've experienced in other countries. It could be that I'm just more used to having, like, bigger, more varied meals at like something like lunch and dinner. But I feel like a lot of countries I've been And the breakfast is something so completely different than what I would put in the category breakfast food.
Yeah, totally.
So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mango lassi with rose water. Sounds amazing. I love mango lassi.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yes. And I do love how many recommendations we've heard about sriracha alternatives or like other things we can try. Because I love hot sauce. You know I love hot sauce. So any and all recommendations, I am very happy to get. So thank
Always.
You.
Always.
Yes. And thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@savorpod.com.
Oh, we're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SavorPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Savor is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.